Welcome to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, The Monster in Me. More destructive than alien invaders from another galaxy, it will numb your soul, steal your life, and threaten your most treasured relationships. We're talking about pride. Join us to learn how you can overcome this monster and save your world forever.
Hello, New Point. We're glad that you're here, because we're kicking off a brand new series. And the series that we're kicking off is The Monster in Me. Now, you might be thinking, how could they be a monster in me? Well, I just want to help you with that. There is a monster in me, and there's a monster in you. There's a monster in all of us. The problem is, we see it more clearly in other people than we do in ourselves. When I tell you what it is, you're going to probably go and think, oh, I wish they were here. I wish they could hear this message. You might even want to text them and say, hey, I hope you're watching online. Because the monster that I'm talking about is pride. It's pride. It's something that we can see so clearly in other people, but it's so hard for us to see and identify within ourselves. And yet, what I would say today is this: it's a monster. It can wreak havoc in your life and in my life. And what we want to do is we want to unmask the monster. Now, you might be saying, well, Dwight, isn't there a thing called good pride? Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of like I go to the doctor and they do blood work on me and they let me know, Dwight, your good cholesterol is here and your bad cholesterol is here. And so it is with pride. There's good pride and there's bad pride. There's nothing wrong with celebrating and doing a good job and celebrating over your kids. But there's a tendency in all of us that it leans the other way. And we end up placing more value on us than we do on others. And that's not good pride. And so what I want to do is I want to give us a definition of pride so that you and I can understand it, so that we can unmask this bad pride, this monster that's in you and it's in me. Here's the definition I want us to work from. Pride, the mindset of self, a master's mindset rather than that of a servant. Okay? And so here's the definition. A focus on self and the service of self, a pursuit of self-recognition and self-exaltation, and a desire to control and use all things for self. Wow. That's the bad pride. That's the monster that lives in you, and that's the monster that lives in me. It's pride, and it motivates us to exaggerate the value of our thoughts and of our ideas and of our opinions. It causes us to elevate our opinions above everybody else and raise the importance of our fulfillment of what we perceive to be our needs above other people. It causes us to be angry with one another. It causes us to be judgmental towards one another. It's a lofty self-centeredness, but it's also a competitive spirit. It can become lustful. It can destroy intimacy. It can be highly critical and envious and impatient. It can be all of that and more. And it can rise up in me, and it can rise up in you. And we want to be able to unmask it, because it has and can and will bring about destruction in my life as well as your life. So I got a question for us. How many of you have ever had chicken pox? Okay? If you have chicken pox, do you know that there's a virus in you that's living? It's living. And it can cause you to have shingles. Oh, ow. That one in five who have this virus will probably end up having shingles. And if you know anything about shingles, it can cause you a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of grief. And yet it's in you. And it can be set off in any moment. That's a little bit like pride. It's in me and it's in you. And it can be set off and it can bring about enormous pain in one's life and in the life of other people. It's like that virus, but it's more than that. It's a monster. Its name is pride. It lives in me, lives in you, and can develop into a full-blown problem unless you and I learn how to deal with it ruthlessly. Some of us here today, it's already happened to you. That monster kicked in, and you're experiencing the effect and the pain. Others, we might be blind to it. Others of us, we might say, well, Dwight, hey, you know what? I'm really not that prideful. And yet, if you'd ask somebody else, they would say that you are. They would say that it lives within you. And so what do we do? Well, what we want to do is we want to ask God, God, unmask this monster in me. Let me see it for what it really is so that I can address it and I can deal with it in a proper way. David prays this prayer in Psalms 139, and he prays this vulnerable prayer, transparent prayer. And if you will read 139, and I encourage you to read it today, what you will find out is the reason why he has this courage is because he reminds himself how much God loves him and that God deeply cares about him and that God wants the best for him. And that's the only way that you and I could ever pray a prayer like this, is to be able, God, I know that you love me. I know that you care about me. I know that you want the best for me. And David knows that. And he knows that God desires that for him. And so he prays this prayer. Here's what he says. He says, search me. You only say that to somebody who you trust, who you believe in. He says, search me, God, and know my heart. That means know what's really going on inside of me. There's people who know me, but they don't know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any offensive way. See if there's any virus in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. Lead me in the way of where my relationships will last. They won't be destroyed. And so that's what I want us to do today. And maybe you're hesitant in praying that prayer. Let me tell you, God loves you. And he cares about you. He cares about your marriage. He cares about your relationship with your kids. He cares about your relationship with your mom and dad. He cares about your relationship with your coworkers. He loves you. He wants the best. He's one that you can trust no matter what. And so I encourage you to do that. And so what I want to do is I just want us to be able to ask him to search our heart, because there's symptoms of pride for you and for me. And I just want to walk you through this. And as you do this, you have a little place there. I want you to put zero, okay, if it's not true of you. If it happens sometimes, put one. And if it happens more than sometimes, put two. And all eyes to the front, please, okay? All eyes to the front. So let me help us with this, okay? The first symptom of pride is fault finding. Is fault finding. Pride causes you and me to filter out the wrong, the bad in us, but it causes us to filter out the goodness of God in other people. So what happens is, I'm easy on me, but I'm hard on you. We only see what's wrong in other people. We only see their faults. And so what happens is, whenever we're with people, whenever we're in an event or whatever, we're fault finding. We just are very critical. We're cutting. Does that ever happen in your life? Sometimes, more frequent than what you want to admit. Here's another one, and this is fear. Fear. And here's what I mean by fear. Fear is the root, or pride is the root of fear. Pride is the root of anxiety. Because when we refuse to humble ourselves before God, then what happens is we take all of it upon ourselves. And what it does is it reveals our lack of trust in God. God, I know better. I know what to do. And so I'm going to take this on. And so what happens is, whenever you take it on and you become God, what happens is you'll live in fear because you're not trusting the one true God. I'm not thinking about what God has to say or what God is thinking. I'm concerned about what people think and how they're going to respond to me. And whether they're going to like me, or whether they're going to reject me, or whether they're going to criticize me. That's all rooted in fear, which and anxiety, which comes about with pride. How about this one right here? How about a harsh spirit? A harsh spirit. And what I mean by that is, we tend to look at other people with contempt, irritation, frustration, judgment. You know, people just irritate us. They just get underneath our skin. And so what happens is, we have a tendency to let them know, whether it's our sons or daughters, or whether it's our mom or dad, or whether it's a coworker. We just get frustrated easy with other people. And so there's this harsh spirit within us. Or another symptom is faking it. We just fake it. We just fake it. We're far more concerned about what other people think and other people's perception than the reality of our hearts. And so what we do is, we lie. We lie to keep our reputation. We lie to keep our image. We tell stories that aren't true because they make us feel better and they make us look better than who we really are. And so what happens is, we fake it. We hide the truth. When somebody asks us about something, you know, we don't tell the truth, because if we told the truth, then they might think less of us. And so what happens is, we just fake it. And we hide our sins. And we want to appear that we're more righteous or good than what we really are. And so, faking it. So that never happens in your life? Happens once in a while? Or does it happen way too often? How about this one right here? Easily offended. People who are easily offended are prideful people, because they think, we think, that we deserve something better. Our first response to criticism or coaching is to become defensive. And we get more concerned with our rights than we do with what is right. And so what happens is, we resent people who speak into our life. Who do they think they are? When you get your life together, when you get your act together, you come back and you have a talk with me. But let me tell you about your life. And so we're not grateful. We don't have appreciation when somebody speaks into our life. And so what happens is we end up pointing out things in their life. And when somebody wants to coach us or correct us, we become contentious. We argue. We defend. We don't take their observation. And so we become easily angered. How about this one right here? Hungry for attention. Look at me! Look at me! Would you please look at me? And what happens is we want people to recognize us. We want people to see us. We want people to respect us. We want people to honor us. How about Facebook? Isn't that really a whole lot of what Facebook is? Look at me. Would somebody like me? And if somebody doesn't like it enough, then what happens is we get depressed, we get angry, we get upset. Why? Because we're full of pride, because we're hungry for attention, or we feel that somebody else is getting more attention than what we are. And it's not right. They're playing favorites. How about this one right here? Perfectionism. Okay? Perfectionism. And that is, you know, I'm right, you're wrong all the time. And I have to be right because my image, my self-image is so important. I can't ever be wrong. And so I have a hard time saying I'm wrong. I'm having a hard time saying I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time saying I dropped the ball. I'm having a hard time because what happens is it's my image. And I don't want to be criticized. And I can't let anybody see my weaknesses. I can't be out of control. I have to be in control. Because my name, my reputation, my leadership depends on it. I have to be the best. And I have to make sure everybody else knows that I'm the best. Zero. Never happens in your life. Once in a while. Or maybe too often. How about this one right here? Neglecting or ignoring others. And this is where you prefer some people over other people. You're more interested in the people in the high position, the people who are quote unquote respected by other people. We get the thrill when people quote unquote in power acknowledge us or recognize us. And we consciously or subconsciously pass over people who aren't recognized and maybe aren't in the same economic class or education world that we are. How about this one right here? How about prayerlessness? Prayerlessness. You say, how is prayerlessness pride? Because the fact of the matter is I don't need God. I'm doing all right. I can make it on my own. You see, when you and I pray to God, what we're saying is, God, I need you. I can't make it without you. If you don't help me, I'm not going to be able to do it. And so the less I pray, the more confidence I have in me. And I don't really need God. Or how about this last one? How about entitlement? Entitlement. You know, we say, hey, we're good. We're really good. And we should get what we want. And if we don't, we're justified in our ingratitude. And if we're not careful, we're uncomfortable, or when we're inconvenienced in any way, we complain about it. When anything comes our way and it inconveniences us or makes us uncomfortable, I don't deserve this. I don't know what's up. And so, entitlement. Entitlement. So how you doing? Can I tell you about a guy who I know his... the proudest guy I know, it's me. You know why? I don't know your heart. I know my heart. I know what I think. I know what I battle. I know the monster in me. I don't know it in you. I know that you have potential, but I know what it is in my own life. And it's something that I struggle with, that I fight on a daily basis. All of those things there, I struggle with. More often than what I want to admit. And yet I go back to C.S. Lewis, and C.S. Lewis says this: if anyone would like to acquire humility, I can, I think, tell him the first step. The first step is to realize that one is proud. And so I have to admit that there's a monster in me. And I want him to be unmasked. C.S. Lewis goes on and he says this. He says, at the biggest step, too, at least nothing, whatever, can be done before it. If you think you are not conceited, it means that you are very conceited indeed. And so the fact of the matter is, it's something that I struggle with. It's probably something that you struggle with. And here's why it's so important that we unmask this monster. Here's what Solomon would say. Pride, all the things that we just talked about, goes before destruction. That means that when I act in a prideful way, what happens is I'm going to experience something destructive in my marriage, in my family, in my workplace, in my community, in my church. Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit, one that feels that he or she is better than everybody else, smarter than everybody else, goes before a fall. And so the stakes are very, very high. For me, the stakes are very, very high for you. And so this pride leads to destruction. And it happens in five different ways that I just want to help us with here today. First of all, pride leads to rebellion instead of submission. It leads to rebellion instead of submission. You say, what do you mean by that, Dwight? A prideful person thinks he or she has figured it all out and that they don't need to listen to anybody. That the fact of the matter is, I know what I should do, just back away. I don't need any counsel. I don't need anybody whispering in my ear. I don't need a coach. I don't need to be corrected. I don't need to be challenged. To make it even more personal, it's when your marriage is hurting and you refuse to go to counseling and she wants you to. Pride leads to rebellion. And you know what? I'm not having anybody tell me. It's you sitting there listening to me saying, what right do you have to tell me how to live? That's rebellion. Pride leads to rebellion instead of submission. Here's what Proverbs has to say. A man who will not obey looks only for what is bad. And so here's what happens. We look for ways to justify why we don't listen to somebody, a leader or a mom or a dad or a boss. And we look for what is bad. We look for what is wrong, because if we can find something wrong in her or we can find something wrong in them, then somehow we feel justified not to follow, not to lead, or be led by them. And what we have to understand is pride wants to lead, not to be led. Pride wants to be heard, not to be coached. Pride wants to influence, not to be influenced. Pride wants to be right, not to be corrected. And pride leads us to rebellion instead of submission. Pride leads us to hypocrisy instead of authentic living. That's what it does. It leads us to faking it for everybody else. Here's what Jesus said about the Pharisees. He says, everything they do is done for people to see. So what happens is we do certain little acts because we want people to think something of us that's really not true. if you would pull back the curtain, it wouldn't be true of me. It wouldn't be true of you. And so pride makes us to pretend because we don't want people to think bad of us. And pride will lead you to live a life of hypocrisy. And it'll become so heavy and so big and strong that what happens is it'll crush you and it'll crush me and it'll crush us. You see, pretending doesn't make us better. It just doesn't. And so pride leads us to hypocrisy instead of authentic living, being truthful about ourselves, about our marriage, about our family, about our kids. Here's the third thing. Pride leads us to judgmentalism instead of love. Pride leads us to judgmentalism instead of love. I love this quote here by R.T. Kendall. He says, pride makes us feel worthy to judge another. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm more experienced than you. And so I have a right to judge you. And yet Paul speaks directly to this when he writes to the church in Corinth. And he says this, knowledge alone, okay, makes people self-righteously arrogant. So when I just have knowledge and I just have this wealth of knowledge, it makes me arrogant because it makes me think that I know better than you. Then he goes on to say, but love that unselfishly, that seeks the what? The best for others, builds up and encourages others to grow in wisdom. Here's what I believe. You and I cannot judge somebody and love them at the same time. We just can't do it. Because our judgmentalism gets in the way. It gets in the way. And so what happens is if I'm busy judging somebody, then I can't be busy loving them. And pride leads us not only into judgmentalism instead of love, but pride leads us into boasting instead of meekness. Instead of meekness. We want to boast. Let me tell you about what I've done. Let me tell you how important I am. Let me tell you how significant I am. Instead of meekness. Here's what Paul has to say again. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I don't want to do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life. What he's saying here is when we boast, what happens is we're basically saying this has happened all because of me. And if you'd like to think that, that'd be wonderful. So you know what? I'm not even going to boast. Because if I boast and I tell you what's happening and what's going on, you might think that it all rose on me and my wonderful plan, my wisdom, my leadership ability. You see, Proverbs says it like this. He says, let someone else praise you and not your own mouth, an outsider, but not your own lips. Wow. And pride leads me to boast instead of being meek. Now, what's meek? Meek has nothing to do with weakness. Meek is self-control. Meek is self-control, meaning that, you know what? I can do that which is uncomfortable. That means that, you know what? I'd love to tell you about this because I want to tell you how important and how great and how wonderful I am. But I'm growing in my meekness. I'm showing some self-control. And I don't want you to think that I'm better than what I really am. And so if anybody talks about it, I'm going to let them talk about it because if I talk about it, then you might give me too much praise. You might think more highly of me than what you ought to, y'all, okay? And then pride leads to isolation instead of community. Wow. Because who wants to be around people who we're better than, we're smarter than, we're wiser than? So what happens is prideful people are lonely people. They're lonely people. They live in isolation. They don't live in community because to live in community is to be known for your faults, your weaknesses, your shortcomings. who you really are, the authentic you, the real you. And what happens is we don't want to get close to them. And yet Paul would say this, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people, just good people who have no airs about them. And don't think you know it all. Don't think you know it all. See, pride is a monster, and it'll lead me to rebellion. It'll lead me to boasting. It'll lead me to judgmentalism. It'll lead me to isolation. It will destroy everything that really I want and I need in life. Here's the good news, though. Jesus, the one who we believe makes life better and makes us better at life, Jesus taught and modeled a radical, radical version of humility. You see, Jesus came into the world a little over 2,000 years ago, and when he showed up, he messed the pecking order all up. Because the pecking order in the religious realm was positions and affluence and wealth and knowledge. And he basically said, if you want to be great, you what? You serve. And he showed up and he redefined greatness. And he set the world on edge. And he impacted a man named Paul, who said, you know what, I have a reason to boast because I'm pretty good at a lot of different things. Would you like to hear about my awards? Would you like to hear all of that? And it so redefined Paul that Paul wrote about it. And here's what he said. He said this, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Mindset. You know why? Because the reason why we become prideful is because we deal with it on an emotional level. Why should I apologize when they made me do this? Why should I say yes when they wouldn't cooperate with me? Happens in marriages all the time. Would you agree with me? Happens with me and Patty. At least on my end, I can get emotional about something when really it shouldn't even be emotional. It should be my mindset. This is just what you do when this happens. Don't get so emotional about it, Dwight, because if you get so emotional about it, you know what you're going to do? You're going to be prideful. And so here's what he says. In your relationships with one another, have a mindset. Determine ahead of time how you're going to handle things. Don't let your emotions get caught up, because if your emotions get caught up, it will feed your pride. It will feed my pride. And so what was Jesus' mindset? That greatness is not how well you were served. Greatness is how well you and I serve other people. Greatness isn't about defending how great I am. Greatness is about benefiting other people. Greatness isn't about who's right. Greatness is about who will love unconditionally. And so he says here, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say this. He says, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. See, Jesus had all these different rights, and you know what? He never clinged to his rights. He never took advantage. I have a right for this. I'm the head of this house. I'm the boss around here. I'm the one who pays the bills. I'm the one. Jesus never did that. Rather, it says, rather he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Wow. Being made in human likeness. What's he doing here? Jesus said, hey, you want to deal with unmasking the monster in you and me? Here's the question that we should be asking. How can I serve you? How can I serve you? Different question, isn't it? See, Jesus had a radical version of greatness. It's humility. How can I serve you? And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Wow. Even death on a cross. Even death on a cross. And he's asking me to apologize? Dwight, just say that you were sorry. Just apologize. Just say, I was wrong. Just say, thank you for speaking into my life. Just say, thanks for observing and helping me get better. I'm not asking you to die on a cross. I did that for you so that you could say, I'm wrong. I'm sorry. Thanks for caring about me. Thanks for speaking into my life. You see, following Jesus means letting go of pride, but embracing humility. That's what it means. Embracing humility. I want to leave you with this quote from Beth Moore. And it's powerful, and I want you to get this. I want you to get this. It's going to come up on the screen, and this is from Beth Moore, and here's what she writes. My name is pride. I am a cheater. I cheat you out of your God-given destiny because you demand your own way. I cheat you out of contentment because you deserve better than this. I cheat you of knowledge because you already know it all. I cheat you of healing because you refuse to forgive. I cheat you out of holiness because you refuse to admit when you're wrong. I cheat you out of vision because you'd rather look in the mirror than out the window. I cheat you of genuine friendships because nobody's going to know the real you. I cheat you out of love because real romance demands sacrifice. I cheat you out of greatness in heaven because you refuse to wash another's feet on earth. I cheat you out of God's glory because I convinced you to seek your own. My name is pride. I'm a cheater. You like me because you think I'm always looking out for you. Untrue. I'm looking to make a fool of you, to destroy you. God has so much for you, I admit, but don't worry. If you'll stick it out with me, you'll never know. The monster in you, the monster in me. Let's unmask it. Let's be ruthless with it. Let's admit when we're wrong. Let's say that we're sorry. Let's serve one another. Let's receive correction. Let's be led by others. Let's love one another. Let's kill the monster. Would you pray with me? God, I really can't pray for other people at this time. I have to pray for myself because you know the monster in me. You know how easy it is for me to fall. And so I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your love, to trust you, to believe in you. Help me to love Patty. Help me to love Caleb and Sarah and Nate, Jonathan and Benjamin. Help me to love New Point and the staff and all of the people who call it their home in a way that honors you and glorifies you and points people to you. I thank you for your understanding. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your forgiveness. I thank you for your kindness. Help me to be able to deal with the monster in me. And I pray it in Jesus' name.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/contact. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, download our app, or subscribe to our weekly podcasts through the App Store or Google Play. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.